It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo are here. I'm back. We're going to talk about the latest news from Microsoft, including their quarterly report. It may not be as bad as it sounds. We're getting ready for the release of Windows 10 in 1 week. Some questions still unanswered. And where is our next Windows phone coming from? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. Windows Weekly is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth is provided by CashFly. Pay as you go and start with 2 terabytes free by going to CashFly.com. Use the promo code TWIT. This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 423, recorded Wednesday, July 22nd, 2015. Bitter, sour, and salty. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit lynda.com/windows. That's lynda.com/windows. And by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 100-plus job sites, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter with a free 4-day trial now at ziprecruiter.com/windows. And by NatureBox. NatureBox ships tasty, guilt-free snacks right to your door with over 100 flavors to choose from, like Sriracha Cashew Crunch. Oh, you'll never get bored of snacking again. Try NatureBox at naturebox.com/twit. That's naturebox.com/twit. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft. What are you laughing at? Paul Thurrott, he's here.
Know, your business, you know, you just...
I know my stuff, man.
You're in.
I've been doing this for 56 years.
You're good at this, Leo. You might...
Thank you, Paulie.
You might have a future.
Thank you, Paulie. I appreciate that. Good to have me back and you back. You were in Ireland. For a while.
If you
at some
so,
point.
Yeah.
Okay. I won't belabor the point. Mary Jo Foley is also here from allaboutmicrosoft.com. Great to have you. I didn't get to talk to you, but thank you to Padre for doing a great job last week.
He did.
About your interview with Nadella.
Yep, he was good on all three shows in your absence. Very good job.
Well, it's kind of a coup, because that's interview 2, right? Nice job.
First interview with Nadella since he was
as CEO.
CEO.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yep.
And I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll also talk about Microsoft's worst quarterly results in the history of Microsoft, I think, or something. I can't remember. I have to look and see.
But we won't do that first. Maybe we should do.
Would you like
Windows
to introduce?
10. Yeah, let's. So, because Mike's here, I think maybe the pertinent topic is the quickness of the two-market plan for Windows 10, and you know how that impacts him and HP and PC makers. And
would you please introduce your special guest?
Sure.
Yeah.
This is my special guest.
Wow.
Mike Nash, formerly of Microsoft, currently of HP.
Nice to meet you.
I mean,
VP
for a long time
of
at HP,
customer
seems...
experience, right? I mean, let's get his title.
The thing that will make the most sense to people from the outside is that Mike previously ran the consumer PC business at HP, right? Essentially. Yes. He's not agreeing.
Mike, are you there?
I think we lost him.
Oh. I did. Definitely. I ran product manager there for about 2 years, and before that, now I'm getting network errors.
The quality. Mike's in a hotel room in Los Angeles,
yeah.
And as you know, with hotel Wi-Fi.
But for folks listening, you know, Mike was responsible for some of the big, great consumer HP devices of the past year: the Stream 11 and 13 laptops,
oh, really?
The Stream 7 and 8 tablets. The similar small desktop all-in-one machines, and then also the HP Spectre X360, which is a fantastic laptop and is, in fact, the device I'll be taking to France next week.
You're going to France next week?
Yep.
Well, okay, then I'm going to Vietnam.
Well,
the heck with you guys.
I'm going to go to Cambodia.
Okay, well, in that case...
I already planned it. I don't know why you keep copying me.
It is that time of year. By the way, a hearty thank you to, as we work to get Mike's connection up, a hearty thank you to Father Robert, who did a great job
for, was it three? I think it was three episodes of Windows Weekly.
He did all three. Yeah. I was only on one of those episodes, curiously.
I know.
This is really strange.
We carried on. We carried
nice job.
On.
And thanks to Dr. Pizza, who filled in. And who else?
Yeah, the guy. Todd Bishop from Geek.
Oh, Todd Bishop. That's great.
Nice. Nice. Yep. Well, thank you, Mary Jo, for doing that.
Todd was the matchmaker between Mary Jo and I.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I wanted to tell that story on the air, but we didn't have time. But.
Mike Nash is now walking out on the interview. Oh, the connection's terrible, Mike. It's just breaking up like crazy.
I think the big question is simply a really general one, which is how is this, and it is tremendously different from previous versions of Windows, and what is it like on the PC maker side to, you know, rush to make this happen? Was this an onerous problem, or were they able to work closely enough with Microsoft that it will all work out in the end?
I'll say, you know, what's different, guys, is so much of it is different. We got engaged with Microsoft working on Windows 10 way earlier than ever, and I think, you know, it's interesting coming from the Microsoft side, now being on the OEM side, sort of knowing how it worked helped a ton to sort of understand, give our feedback, but also hear what they were thinking to make sure that our PCs were really designed for Windows 10. I think, you know, as much as we're focusing on new PC, I ran marketing for Windows Vista, and just having device drivers line up was a huge deal. I think what's helped a ton also is just the continuous dialogue we've had. We've never had such an opportunity to get updates from them so frequently, to report bugs back, and just have a much more collaborative is just sort of the way I describe it.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, what's the go-to-market plan? I mean, what does July 29th look like? What does 2 weeks after that look like? You know, when, you know, are the devices that come out initially the existing devices you've had market for a while? And if so, when do we see all new devices that are, you know, specially made for Windows 10 and that kind of thing? A lot of it, again, is just about the rush on the schedule. You know, how does it change things?
So I think the biggest thing is that we're all about being first in quality. And I think, first of all, you know, we've got about five devices that are available for pre-order now on HP.com. If you order one now, it's not that we're going to ship it on the 29th. Our job is to put it on your doorstep on the 29th. And I think that's a pretty unique thing that we're doing there. The second thing is, you know, most of those devices will be available, actually all five of those will be available in various channel partners stores on shelf on August 2nd. So we'll be very fast there. And again, we picked five so that customers have a lot of choice. Microsoft hasn't talked a ton about this, but when you turn on a new PC, a Windows 8.1 PC after the 29th, it's going to take you through the process of upgrading to Windows 10 pretty quickly. So we really are focused also on making sure that PCs that are in the channel, you know, there'll be some differences, but we want to make sure customers really don't notice the difference between a machine that they bought and upgraded versus one that left the factory with Windows 10. It should be as close as possible.
And then I guess the other big one that I would think of just off the top of my head is, obviously with Microsoft giving away Windows 10 to so many people this time, that has to negatively impact the demand for new PCs right up front. You know, not maybe for the whole year, but certainly right away. I mean, how does that impact HP or, you know, HP's plans? I mean, or does it? I mean, does that really change things? It seems to me like it might.
It's like, it's so hard. We're trying to find an analogy. Like, is this version like that version? And the closest one I can come up with is Windows XP Service Pack 2, where, and we were at Microsoft, we decided to make SP2 a free upgrade to customers that had Windows 1A, just getting customers comfortable with the new version from a security perspective back in 2004, I think helped a lot. So I look at the current situation and say, you know, if we can get more customers happy with Windows and excited about it, you know, at the end of the day, you know, they're going to hopefully like Windows more and like HP more. I look at the world and kind of, and Paul, you have talked about this, but sort of three big hunks of PCs, right? PCs that we built in 2015, and those are going to be just fine. Machines that we shipped first in 2013 and 2014, I think those PCs are going to upgrade well to Windows 10, but there may be some feature that requires hardware, like microphones run 10 better than 7 or 8, but it may be some feature you're looking for. I think, you know, using Windows 10 may inspire customers to look at a new PC. I think the last one is, you know, Intel estimates that there's 600 million PCs that are 4 years old or older out there. And so look at that opportunity. You think about someone using Windows XP or Windows Vista or maybe Windows 7 at home, and like just, you know, what they're missing out on. I was playing with a PC just upgrading old stuff a few weeks ago, and, you know, I turned on a PC that, you know, upgraded fine, but it was running, it had a Core 2 Duo processor. Remember Core 2 Duo? I think someone using a PC old, like, it's just an opportunity. How big is that? Is it upside down? So, I don't know. My crystal ball. I'm not as smart enough or dumb enough to forecast the future. But I would say that I think at the end of the day, it's about experience and making sure we just nail that so customers have the right choices. And we'll see how it goes. I think we do more and more as we're going for the launch.
Mike, I think we're going to let you go because the quality is so bad.
Yeah, I really
apologize. Yeah, sorry, guys.
So thank you to Mike Nash. He is a VP Product Experience at HP. And apologies for the quality, but we're going to get him back and spend some more time with him. Let's take a break because there's a lot more to talk about. Windows 10 is out in 3 days. This is a big... Are we going to have a launch party?
Nope.
Where's my Windows 10 playing cards and balloons? Remember we did that for Windows 7?
Yeah.
Nothing like that for Windows 10. But we will talk a lot more, lots more to say in just a bit. But first, a word from our sponsor, Lynda.com. Lynda is a great way for you to learn the skills you need, including Windows 10. They have over 3,000 on-demand video courses. And what's cool about Lynda.com, they work with software publishers to make sure that they have training on the site the minute the new software comes out. So I can pretty much assure you there will be stuff about Windows 10 at lynda.com as soon as it comes out. There's also great material for people who want to make things happen, business negotiation skills, resume skills, using Microsoft Office, taking better photos. Lynda.com has everything you need for feeding your curious mind. If you're interested in development, I know a lot of programmers who've got their start at Lynda.com. How about up and running with Office for Android and iOS devices? Ooh, that's cool. The Universal Principles of Design. Bert Monroy has a great one. My Photoshop Story, I love. There's also Essential Training for Eclipse. That's the IDE that many people in the industry use and a critical tool for developers. There's so much stuff here. Just take a look. Lynda.com. Now, here's the deal. When I say take a look, I'm going to give you 10 days free to browse the 3,707 video courses. You can download the apps and watch on your iPad, your Android device, your phone. You can learn at your own pace, which means you can watch a course from beginning to end or just pick the parts you want. And that's really easy because of the course transcripts that allow you to search specifically for specific information and go right to it. Here's your deal. 10 days free, lynda.com/windows. lynda.com/windows. Training's so good, even Microsoft uses it. And you see, they have it for the Windows Store, for Google Play, Amazon devices, and, of course, iOS as well. Newest courses just come out. Look at this. Communication tips, marketing tips, video post tips weekly. I'm not sure what that's about. Lynda.com. Try it free today. lynda.com/windows. So I hate to bring this up. A painful subject, perhaps. But after all, with a $7.5 billion write-down, it's kind of hard to have a profitable quarter.
Right.
is this the worst quarter in Microsoft history?
Yes.
I think so. Yep.
Yikes. And yet, if you take out the write-down, they made some good money.
Yep.
So this is one of those good news, bad news things, right? It's good news and it's bad news.
So what's the good news? Well, no, the bad news we know.
Right.
Well, the good news is if it weren't for this, they would have had a $6.5 billion operating profit.
Nice.
That's good news.
Nice.
And the other thing is, you know, there's some bad news I put in the notes about if you look at the operating profit and revenues and compare them to the same quarter a year ago, they're actually down regardless, which is, you know, bad news. But That actually has to do with the value of the dollar, which has changed a lot.
Oh, so interesting.
You see something they don't do normally, which is they talk about what this would have been
right
if it weren't for that.
So you mean while I'm partying because my dollar goes so much farther in Europe, Microsoft's...
Yes. We can't all be on a riverboat in Europe, Leo. Some of us have to design
It was so fun watching the euro just go down, down, down. But then, of course, it's because of the Greek struggles and... You know, all of that. And we should point out, it's not exactly like they had to write a check for $7.5 billion.
You know, no, but you know what? They could.
And they could if they had to. So,
yeah, just throwing that out there. I mean,
I'm not an accounting expert.
I did too much cocaine today. I've got like a...
Yeah, yeah, you got that white stuff.
Kind of a
See,
nose
Paul,
problem.
Now that's going to go in your Wikipedia article. You really, you got to be careful. In all seriousness... It doesn't, a write down like that just means we spent the money before we bought Nokia.
Right.
But we're going to count, and in fact, it's a good tax thing because it means they don't have to pay taxes on that amount of money, right?
I actually don't understand the accounting.
Yeah, nobody does. I have to get Lisa in here. You need a CPA. But it's not like they lost $7.5 billion. They just
it was under the mattress. They just didn't know.
In fact, that means that they don't have to pay taxes on the $6.5 billion they actually made.
Yeah, I think part of there's an accounting principle that I also don't understand called goodwill, and the idea was that over time, the money that they put into this purchase would, in essence, pay itself at least partially off by profits and revenues or whatever from that would come down the road that are not coming. So this is as I understand it, again, not an accountant, not even a smart person, a way to basically say, you know what, we spent this money, it's over, we're not getting it back, let's stop pretending otherwise.
Right. Yeah. And I'm sure you talked a lot about the breakdown last week or the week before, because that's old news.
Yeah,
so okay. I won't belabor that.
Oh, we can belabor it. I never talk about Windows Phone enough, Leo.
It's Microsoft saying our Nokia acquisition was a wash.
A wash, not a loss.
It was a disaster.
Oh,
well, okay. No, she means a disaster, a financial evening.
Yeah, they basically wrote down everything they paid for it.
Right? Yeah, that was the total amount, wasn't it? So, yeah. Close to
it. An additional
and they
fees,
fired, you know. And we should be honest. I mean, they fired almost everybody who was involved, right?
Thousands of people. There are about somewhere north of 5,000 people left that they acquired when they bought Nokia. And they started out with 25,000 people, we think they're
So there's still a lot of people.
Yeah.
There's still some people.
I'm sure you guys talked about this last week. I mean, does this make a difference to the future of Windows Phone? There seemed to be some debate. I was watching this from afar. But they still say they're going to make Windows phones, right?
Yeah. So, this is the thing we did belabor last week, which is that they are changing their strategy, but that strategy includes still making Windows phones.
Yeah.
Okay. So I won't go on and on with that.
Right. But in short, what to know about Windows Phone is they are going to keep making Windows phones. They're going to make a lot fewer of them. So they think overall they're going to continue not to make money on Windows Phone, but they're going to lose less.
It's a win-win, Leo.
That sounds like a lose-lose, to be honest. Yeah,
they're saying, we don't think we're going to make money.
That thing that Mary Jo just said is absolutely accurate and is the thing I think a lot of Microsoft fans and Windows Phone fans in particular do not understand or refuse to believe. Because what she just said is correct. They don't believe they're going to make money on this. They don't believe that a standalone smartphone business makes any sense for them financially. Right. That the reason they're doing this is other reasons, right? Because there's hardware to come, you know, that may or may not look like a phone or may not be, you know, a phone per se, that they're not going to just drop this and hope for the best for the future. That part of the plan for the future means we got to kind of keep doing this. And so given that reduced expectation, who do we make phones for? You know, fans with flagships, business users, where actually today or last night in the conference call, they said the business stuff was going pretty well. And then the low-end market, which obviously has some importance as well, just from sort of a volume perspective. And the unique value that they can supposedly deliver.
Where did they make money? Where did that $6.5 billion that they made come from?
Oh, I thought you meant on Windows Phone.
No. We're done with Windows Phone. We got it. I got it.
Yeah, no, everyone's done with Windows Phone. That's the problem.
And they're going to still make them. And who did they say? Did they say they'll make them for enthusiasts?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. And this fall, we expect to see two flagships.
Yeah, see, that's great.
Yeah.
Yep.
So where did they make money, Mary Jo? Yeah. Can you answer that?
One place they are doing well is the commercial cloud, which means Azure, Office 365, CRM Online, and Enterprise Mobility Suite.
Because that's the future. That's good.
That's where they're making money, right? They're now at an $8 billion annualized run rate for the commercial cloud, which is pretty good because they said by 2018, they think they're going to hit $20 billion as their annualized run rate, and they think they're on target and maybe a little ahead of target. So in cloud, they're doing really well. But the part that I was most surprised about, I have to say, is how well they did with Surface. They had $888 million quarter for Surface. They're not saying how many Surfaces they sold, but that's pretty good. And over $3 billion in Surface revenues for their fiscal 2015. So they're actually doing well with Surface. It's almost like I'm going to probably get killed for saying this, but like Apple Watch, everyone thinks no one's buying them, but you know, so many people say no one's buying Surface, but obviously there are people out there buying Surfaces because they made a lot of money on Surface.
I think at this point, especially with Surface 3, oh, Paul's disappeared. At this point, especially, now he's back. Especially with Surface 3, I think at this point you could say that this is a great computer and that people who are considering Windows should consider, I certainly on the radio show, it used to be, I'd say Dell. Now the first name I say is Surface. And somebody, one of our family friends was saying, you know, she had an old Toshiba laptop. She's a seventh grader. She has an old Toshiba laptop. She loves to draw. I said, oh, get her a Surface. This is the Surface 3, not the Pro. She can draw on it. It's Windows. It'll be Windows 10. Microsoft, it took them a couple of tries, but they really got it right, I think, right?
Yeah.
I agree.
Yep.
I don't know how that impacts the other OEMs. I mean, they probably don't like hearing that.
To me, it doesn't really compete head-to-head with a lot of these OEMs.
It's kind of unique, isn't it?
And you know, if you want to buy a laptop, Microsoft doesn't make one. And a lot of people still want a laptop.
When we get Mike Nash back, we should ask him about that, how he feels as an OEM.
Well, I think the thing that they got right with Surface is something that it doesn't really infringe on what other PC makers are doing. It's semi-aspirational. You know, Microsoft is still saying, hey, look, here's a neat thing. We think you should do stuff like this. But they could just take away other, you know, you don't have to copy Surface Pro 3 exactly, right? You could just take away some message about the quality of the device,
right.
You know, just stuff that is maybe a little less specific than how it looks or how big the screen is or whatever. And I do think that not competing directly with what PC makers are doing is important because obviously they didn't react very well to Surface, you know, when it was first revealed in 2012, right?
Yeah,
yeah 2012. Right.
This is part of a transition for Microsoft from being a consumer business to being a B2B or enterprise business, isn't it? I mean, the consumer business was down.
Yeah. You know, I feel like they have always been a pretty business-focused company.
Yeah.
And you know, then they tried around the 2010 till fairly recently to be a consumer PC company too. And I'm not saying they've given up on that, but I think they're kind of going back to their roots, which is we're a business company that makes software and services.
But that makes sense. And frankly, the PC industry is down across the board.
Right.
The only people selling computers right now are Apple.
Right.
Everybody else is struggling.
Yep.
So they're making money in the right part of the business, it seems
they
to
are.
Me, for the future.
To me,
anyway.
Too. I mean, because, you know, Wall Street's been very skeptical. Like, are you guys going to be able to monetize if Windows is down and, you know, like shrink wrap software, that's where you guys made all your money. But they're showing that, yes, we are being successful in transitioning many customers to subscriptions in the cloud, like Office 365, consumer and business. Both of those were very strong.
The problem with that is just that because of the way they report earnings from subscription offerings, right? It's you don't get those cyclical bumps, you know? And so the Office overall is down. Revenues, Windows overall revenues down, in some cases dramatically, consumer market. And there are little side issues around why that might be so. Obviously, PC makers aren't selling as many computers right now because Windows 10 is right around the corner. But, you know, the question is where Microsoft kind of normalizes and if they can get back up to the former levels. So we'll see.
Or be a new kind of business.
Yep.
Well, you know, I mean, have to be like the old Microsoft.
I don't mean like the old. What I mean is from a money perspective. You know, in other words, what you want to see is growth. In other words, Microsoft could be selling hay by the roadside as long as they're making $25 billion a quarter. It doesn't, you know, nobody cares. I mean, I'm not worried so much about the type of company they are. But, you know, these core businesses, which they've relied on for such a long time, are not performing as strongly as they did. So the cloud stuff needs to really take off for this transition to make sense, not technologically, but, you know, financially.
And besides not making money on Windows, are they making money on any software? Is Office looking good for them?
They're making money on their server software still. So Windows Server.
Actually, yeah, that's right, Windows, right?
All those
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
SQL Server.
Yeah.
And so some of their on-premises software is still making money.
Okay.
Skype for Business, which is Link, Exchange. Okay. All those things make them a lot of money, and they're still making the money.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of bothers me here is that I always thought that the relationship between Microsoft and the customer was a good one because they made something and you bought it.
Right. it's pretty straightforward.
You know, maybe not directly. You know, sometimes you buy it through a PC maker or whatever. Yeah. But, you know, they made software and you bought it. In the old days, obviously, you go to a store, you buy a box, and you bring it home and throw away the box. But, you know, because of Google and Apple primarily and because of this kind of mobile and cloud world we live in, you know, Apple can make money off devices, and they don't have to worry about charging you for software. Everyone thinks, oh, look, you know, they're amazing. They give away the software. It's like, but, you know, they make crazy margins on their hardware. They can afford to do that. I mean, you're paying for it. And Google, of course, gives away the software, but they're selling ads. Their plan is to sell ads. You know, they want everything on the internet to go through them, and so far it basically is. So this is the world that Microsoft has to compete in. And so we've seen how they've adapted Windows and Office to these models, freemium on Office. Windows is given away for free on small devices, on all phones and on many tablets and even many laptops and things. And I don't know where it ends. I mean, I think the thing I'm a little worried about from this perspective is at what point do the business customers turn around and say, hold on, what's going on here? You know, what you're giving this away to everybody.
Why not us? Yeah, that's a good point. How come I am paying?
I mean, obviously, they get more services. They get more capabilities. Right.
Well, eventually what you say is you're not paying for Windows. You're paying for service. You're paying for updates.
Yeah.
You're paying for something else.
Right.
I'm just curious where it stops. I mean, I look at some of the stuff they do, like Office.
You're not paying for the bits.
You're not really. Yeah, the notion that you create some, you know, compile software, you deliver it in some physical or non-physical fashion, whatever. It seems like that is over.
Although people do still pay for Office, right? I mean, I'm paying for Office.
Yeah, I mean, and if you get Office 365, the business plans, a lot of those allow you to download Office bits onto your PC locally, right?
But you're not buying Office. You know, you're paying a
again,
subscription.
It's the service thing, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I think it's just the idea of renting software now, right? You don't own it. Yeah. You're renting.
You never did in some ways.
But now it's more obvious even, right?
And isn't this really what, even going back to Bill Gates, Microsoft's wanted to do this since forever.
Sure. Yep.
It just happens.
We think about and talk about Windows a lot, but think about Office. Office for years, the primary way that individuals acquired Office was on a new PC as well. In fact, for that reason, so many people still believe to this day that Office is part of Windows. Ironically, it is in some ways, but they, as this model kind of evolved, remember they had a kind of a strange Office version that would put up, it was just Word and Excel, and it would put up advertisements so you could buy the real Office. I mean, back in the day, they had things like Works, and today when you buy a computer, you don't get a standalone version of Office that's always on that computer. In fact, the last one that did that arguably was Surface RT and Surface 2. Where you actually got a standalone version of Office. It wasn't tied to a subscription. It was yours forever. That's gone.
Yeah.
And the revenues that are associated with that are also gone, right? And so instead what they're doing is giving away Office 365 personal, typically, on a computer for consumers. And, man, they must give away a lot of those things, right? I mean, if you sell 300 million computers in a year, I mean, at least half of those must have a free version of Office 365 personal. Yeah. I would think. It was somewhere around there.
But remember, and we talked about this a while ago, but Microsoft's new business model is freemium, right? So give away the entry level or the consumer only, you know, no work right usage kind of stuff. And then upsell people, right? So you want to use this for work at home, you have to buy the subscription to get the rights to unlock some of the features that you need or for the work use rights. So that's their new business model. We know the world has moved to free in many cases, and we have to go with them, but we're still going to try to upsell you.
But the question is it going to work? Because right now, we're still kind of on the leading edge. I think it might be right. I just don't know where it ends up. You know, we have numbers that I don't know where they come from. We tend to know how many people use Windows, how many people use Office. We know how many Office subscriptions they are. I mean, I would just say in the scope of 1 billion plus people using Office, you know, 3 million, 5 million, 15 million people using Office 365 is not insignificant, but it's also not a huge percentage of that overall user base. And do we get them all? I mean, and if we're giving away Office 365 for free, a year from now, did they just say, you know, I don't really feel the need to pay for this. Mm-hmm. It's something that they're not used to. They used to get Office for free with the computer, so they never had to upgrade later. Right. I mean, that itself is a new thing.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of a dynamic that's not, it's not obvious to me that it's going to work.
Yeah.
Or
you know what they have to do to show people why they need to keep up their subscription is to keep rolling out new features, right? So
yes.
In Office 365 Business, you get a lot of new features continuously rolled to you. Like if you look every month, they send us this list. Hey, here's all the things in June we delivered to Office 365 Business customers. So they have to do that on consumer too. They have to start showing people, hey, if you keep your subscription up to date, this is why it's worth it. You're going to get this and this and this. This, you know, maybe rights to something new or a new feature or something that you didn't have before. But they have to keep showing you what the value is by revving it, I think. And if they don't, then you start questioning, do I really need this?
Yeah. And we'll see how it goes.
It is a change, though. Definitely a change.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm surprised. I have to say, Office, the one that I'm the most surprised about is the consumer Office 365 plans. I was wondering if people would subscribe to those, but they are.
Right. Yeah, I'm buying them. I have one.
I'm surprised because I thought those would be the customers that really balked. Businesses, I thought, yeah, they might do it. But
so, by the way, that's interesting to me because I pay for two of these because I'm a goon. But I mean, I'm a non-typical consumer. But the interesting thing is, I also have a bunch of PCs and tablets and things that come through my house. And so when I buy I bought a Winbook 8-inch tablet recently or whatever. It comes with a 1-year subscription to Office 365 Personal, which is useless to me because I have the home subscription. But I can convert it to 9 months of home, right? So both of my subscriptions have been extended out to, I believe, 2017 in 9-month increments, right? Because I've been getting these, you know, free cards in the, you know, in the box. So I did pay for it at least twice. I probably paid for or at least one renewal, but lately I've been kind of extending the subscription. So like, when was the last time I plopped down $99 for Office 365? I'm not really sure.
Yeah. And believe me, if you go, you know, I remember the days when you'd go into a store to buy Office.
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember the gold looking card. Looking at the price and literally doing a U-turn saying, well, I guess I won't be buying that. It was ridiculous. Yeah.
It was multiple hundreds of dollars, right?
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember hundreds what it was dollars, a lot. Yeah.
Like, I think some versions were like $500.
Yes. Oh, they're more than that. They're more than that. I was going to say Pro Plus had or Professional Plus, whatever, by the end. I bet that was in the $700-$800 range.
Yeah.
That's no person's going to buy that.
No.
It's got to be hidden. That price has to be hidden. Yeah.
Don't ever let people know how much this is worth.
Yeah. Pardon me for asking, but how about did they make money in online? I'm sorry. How much did they lose in online?
Okay, so this is interesting. A lot of us were thinking they were going to announce yesterday that Bing has finally broken even because they've been hinting that it did, but they did not announce that yesterday. Instead, what they said was, in our fiscal 2016, Bing will finally break even.
It's going to.
It's going to. It still hasn't officially.
The way
officially
they do that is they used Bing Predicts.
Bing, will you ever break even, Bing?
Yes, it'll be
during
fiscal 2016.
When will you break even, Bing?
I know.
How about Xbox? They make money in that? Any of those?
I think Xbox numbers were good, right? The console sales were good. And
you know what?
Subscribers to the service.
They don't talk profits.
I know,
in
they
any
don't.
Of these businesses.
Right.
You really got to parse what they're talking about. I don't actually believe Xbox makes money. Lumia did not make money. I'm not sure about Surface. I don't really know. They talk revenues.
Yeah.
Which, you know, doesn't tell you a lot. You got to kind of read between the lines and listen to what they say.
Yeah, you could say we had $800 million in revenue on Surface, but we don't know what that.
Right.
It could be a loss.
What was the cost of revenue?
We don't know what the
$1.5 billion
net was.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't think it. By the way,
no.
I think
they made money on
Surface,
but we just don't know how much.
Yeah. We don't know.
Yeah.
This stuff is purposely hidden. It's the reason Apple Watch is inside of their other category, right? You don't want people with a magnifying glass.
So revenue's up on Xbox 27%, but doesn't mean they made money on it.
Right.
If fact, they could be losing money. You know, you somewhere else. If it's
like you said, though, they made money somewhere. They, yeah. you know, there yeah. was a $6.5 billion operating profit.
Yeah.
So
and mostly in cloud. It sounds like
mostly in cloud.
But that's where you want to be. That's the future.
Enterprise software.
Yeah. Yep. yeah. The future's not desktop operating systems. And so, really, Microsoft's challenging task, like any old line, you know, technology company, is to change. You know, to pivot into the new. Paradigm, and the new paradigm is cloud. It's not desktop OS. Right. It's not desktop software at all. It's not Windows. No. It's not Office. It's something else. And so how are you doing in that? And it sounds
I don't like this world, Leo.
I don't either.
Although, wait. One thing to bring up, though, is right before Microsoft launches a new operating system, that's when the channel contracts, right? Like,
true.
And typically, that is when true. Windows sales and Office sales are down,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
so Windows 10 is going to launch next week. So of course, if you're
everybody knows it,
right? Everybody knows, and the OEMs know too. So no one's out there buying a ton of copies of Windows 8.1 right now.
There isn't a run on Windows 8.1 PCs.
There
right
is not. So that's another thing that should be factored into their Q4 is Windows 10 is about to launch.
Right.
Although they did say on their earnings call. They don't think they're going to make a lot of money from Windows 10 until the second half of their fiscal year, which means next year. Right.
Next calendar year. Yeah.
Next calendar year. Right.
Right.
Well, and the reason for that is, it's free now. That's the upgrades are free. And their bigger part of the launch is actually in this. It's going to be this fall when the OEMs come out with all these new devices, holiday season, when enterprises start more seriously kicking the tires of Windows 10 and then decide to get the Windows 10 Enterprise version, possibly. Right. So that's when the monetary stream picks up for them for Windows, but not anytime.
They must have some calculation for the cost of just supporting the free upgrades too, right? I mean, you know, people are standing by on the phones, right?
Yeah.
This is not PC makers that have to do this anymore. It's Microsoft. So
that's going to be very interesting. Yeah, because they used to palm you off to the OEM, but not anymore.
No, that's completely reversed. Yeah. It's interesting. I learned that from Dell a few weeks ago that that relationship changed over the last three versions of Windows. It was something that they kind of phased in, and now it's Microsoft, as Dell said, directly touching our customers' computers and directly interacting with their own customers. And I think they didn't say this explicitly, but you have to think that this is a little bit of a bone they can throw to the PC makers and say, look, we're giving away for free, which means your revenues from new PCs are not going to be as good as they usually are. On the flip side, you won't have to support them directly as much as you used to.
Well, why would their revenues not be as good?
Because a lot of people are just going to upgrade their existing computers.
I see. So that'll slow sales. I get it.
You know, that's going to be super interesting, though. Will this first year free deal actually make more people upgrade? Because normal people don't upgrade their PCs.
That's
right.
True.
They buy a new computer. They don't.
Well, you're right. But this is one of those theories that's going to be put to the test. They're advertising the Windows 10 upgrade. I think that the normal people don't even consider upgrading to a new version of Windows. This is something that's beyond their, you know, understanding or whatever. But those that are sort of vaguely aware of what that means probably think it's too difficult and is nothing that they would ever do. And so convincing those two audiences, like, here's something new and exciting, is interesting.
You know, putting a little bug in my system tray of every single person.
Yeah.
That's what it takes. That's why Microsoft's doing it. It's annoying a lot of people, and yet that's what you got to do. If you're going to get people to upgrade, you have to do that.
But here's what they have going for them, assuming that it works. These same people have smartphones and tablets, and that's how those things are updated all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's more possible.
That we're enough years into this where people might say, yeah, this is what we do now.
Yeah, maybe. You know,
we'll see.
I think there's a good chance people are going to go, oh, great. Thank you, Microsoft. That's exciting because we've trained them. iOS 8.
Thank you, Microsoft. Not maybe stronger than I'm expecting.
Thank you, Microsoft. But it's the people who listen to the show, the hardcore geeks, are going, get that thing out of my tray. In fact, you know, it's migrated now to an ad. It doesn't, on my PC, is now saying I should do it. I already did it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of frustrating.
It's good software.
You know, I mean, I reserved it. Why is it telling me how to get Windows 10 for free? I did it already. Why is that banner the banner I see when I click that Windows thing?
I know. It should say you're all set.
It should say you're all set. Now that's there's it's in there
You've
somewhere.
Got nothing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really
the bits
not,
are coming.
This is not well done.
This is an ad banner, and I already bought it. I did.
Yeah, you have to know to hit the hamburger. Hit the hamburger.
No, but I shouldn't have to. But that's the
I know.
Point.
I agree
I
with you.
I don't need to go to a menu to not see what I already saw.
I agree. I agree with you.
You know, there's nothing of value in here at all, frankly. And that's what people, that's what pisses people off. They say, well, I just don't want that there.
Yeah. You know what else might get people to upgrade to that they announced this week is you, if you have a Microsoft store near you, you're going to be able to bring your PC in and have it
oh,
be upgraded
for you. Neat.
For you.
Neat.
So that will maybe convince a few more people too.
I would bet most people do it. I know because from doing the radio show.
Oh. Really?
I'm take I would bet I that most users stand. Are just going to
go
on
the road
oh,
with it.
Thank you.
I'm going to go into a retail store, which I can't stand being in for more than 7
No one's going to do that. I think most people do the on-the-air.
I'm just, I don't know.
Yeah.
People will do an over-the-air upgrade. I'm sure they will.
I got to say, the only reason I am doing it myself is because I don't like Windows 8. And so I want that off my laptop. But if I didn't have to write about technology, I don't think I would upgrade. I would be scared.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
That's because
maybe I'm more like a normal.
No, okay. You know too much.
You are no. By the way, you are normal, and that's something you should celebrate. But do you? No, I mean,
you
not,
normies.
I mean, being afraid of the upgrade is actually a very healthy response.
The right attitude.
To the process.
Yeah.
But do you, as kind of a normal person, look at Windows 10 and see any value in the upgrade? Like, in other words,
anything I really want.
How do you convince someone that this is not just okay, but is something you should do because of X advantages?
I think you nailed it, Paul, which is we're trained now because of our phones. And
I think
most, well, I don't know. This is, you know what? I'll ask on Saturday. How many of you did this?
Well, I mean, I don't follow iOS like I follow Windows, right? But I do know that iOS was updated to 8.4 for the stupid music service. I don't know if there's anything else in it that changed anything. I didn't notice anything.
No, it's a few. There's a few security fixes. But Apple always gets
like
80% adoption.
But eventually, iOS 9 is going to come out. iOS 9 comes out, right?
Right.
And off the top of my head, I really don't even know what that means. And I don't know that there will be major changes. But I just know that I'm going to get it.
Right.
And, nothing
and you're going to do it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's inevitable.
It's my guess. Now, do we know yet, did everybody who's running a upgradable Windows 7 or 8 get that bug? I mean, that's it.
Nope. They did not.
That's the other goofy thing. So the other half of this equation is, what about the people who want it?
But didn't get
haven't
the,
gotten
like
about
me,
it.
On my Acer.
You still haven't gotten it?
Nope.
So there's some magical incantation that hasn't occurred yet because I have to think that your laptop, this is the laptop, or the white laptop, actually qualifies. It has to be on the okay list.
So. Because that's the one I'm going to move to Windows 10.
That's a good laptop.
Maybe the software that Microsoft is using to monitor you is not compatible with Windows 10 yet.
I don't know.
Do you do you do updates, obviously?
I do. I have automatic updates.
It's not an optional update. It's a critical. It was
you know that you
can
upgrade the system, right?
You do know. I'm just trying to think why some people would have gotten it and why some people wouldn't.
Well, they said that some people who may have incompatible drivers or other issues, they're holding off on sending that bug to them right now. And they will send it to them once they've decided that it's time for them to try it. But right now they're saying the first line of people who are getting that bug are people who are have devices that they know are going to have a good upgrade experience.
I
so
love
that's how
that
they're
we
deciding.
Have slipped into using the word bug to describe this software.
Bug, sorry.
By the way.
It is a bug.
Right.
All right. So, and by the way, it's 1 week from today.
Yep.
So
yes,
I think we'll do it live on the show, right? I'll do it. Now, are the bits downloading invisibly on? Because I accepted the reservation. Are they downloading now?
Yes, and or they will soon. The interesting thing about what you just said is I'm surprised I haven't seen on Twitter someone has said, I noticed a bunch of traffic coming to my computer in the middle of the night. And,
I need to watch the
you know, I don't know how we would know that has happened or is happening or whatever, but I suspect someone will see this happening and we'll see something about it on Twitter or whatever.
But on that day, on next Wednesday, I think, although I've seen some things that make me now think that I am wrong, but I thought only insiders were getting it that day.
Well, I'm an insider.
Then you should.
Yeah, so the goofy thing is, actually, you are an insider, aren't you? And what are you running on there now?
Eight.
Oh, you still have the previous version. Okay.
This is the normal. I've always updated, so it's 8.1 or whatever the current.
So people, if you were to I couldn't get it now, but if you already had the ISO from a previous build, like a pre-release version of Windows 10, you could upgrade to that right now.
Yeah.
And sometime over the next couple of days, it's not clear how this happens. I've seen this on every single computer I have that I've installed this way. You will get the final version of Windows 10. It happens. And it will be activated and you'll be good to go. Like you'll have most people on with the Windows Insider program probably already have the final version of Windows 10, such as it is, minus whatever hot fix.
Oh, okay. So that's pushed out already. What is that? 10.2.8. What's the number?
Well, the final build, and we'll get to a story about how they don't want you to call it that, is 10.2.40. But they never made it available for ISO. So if you were downloading the ISOs, I think the last one was like 10.162 or 166, maybe one of those two builds. You could upgrade to that. And, you'd run Windows Update from time to time. And a day from now, or 2 days from now, or maybe 3 days from now, eventually, you will be given 10.2.40. And you'll be, that's watermark, the desktop watermark's gone. It's the final version. You're all set. So you could get it ahead of time if you wanted to.
Yeah, but I decided not to put beta on this.
Yes. So the question is, if we show up on Wednesday next week and you try to make that happen, I mean, does the ad just sit there like a dummy and do nothing? Or are you going to be able to upgrade? I mean, we don't know.
We'll find out live on the air.
Yeah.
And I don't care. I'm getting balloons and playing cards. I'm going to have a party.
Nice.
I'm actually looking forward to Windows 10. Am I unusual in that regard?
No, yes. I want it. No, I want Windows 10. I think if you are somebody who's unhappy with 8, or especially if you are using 8 with a mouse and a keyboard on a laptop, you might be very excited about 10. I am for my laptop.
I think more important that the people who do upgrade are going to have a good experience. Like I think Windows 10 is semi-unique in that it's a nice upgrade for Windows 7, and it's actually a nice upgrade for Windows 8 as well.
James V. 1971 in our chat room, who I guess is part of the Windows Insider program, says he just looked and he said, "Oh, the number's gone. I have it."
Yeah, that's 240. Yeah,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Some people have that now.
Oh no, everyone does. I actually think that if you are on the Insider program and have been updating, you'll get it. You will get it.
Yeah,
I believe everyone has, in fact, already gotten.
But you're already running the final. Currently,
if you're running Windows 10 today, you probably have the final version of Windows 10.
Neat.
Yep.
Even though we don't use the word RTM.
Right.
Let's take a break, and we'll talk about that and a lot more, too. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, we're talking Windows, as we do, as we are wont to do on Windows Weekly. Our show today brought to you by ZipRecruiter.com. I know a lot of you have heard me talk about ZipRecruiter, how we used it, how happy we were. We got a great testimonial from Melinda. She's been using ZipRecruiter. She sent me an email. She says, quote, "We've received several highly qualified candidates from ZipRecruiter. So happy our company signed up for them. We're excited to see what comes next. Thank you so much for your customer helpline also. It's very helpful." It's right. It's aptly named. Everybody knows that in the internet era, hiring people is a lot easier thanks to all the job sites. But there's only one place you can go to post to 100-plus job sites and social networks with one click of the mouse. It's ZipRecruiter. Did you know that summertime is the best time to hire the best people? You know why? The competition's on vacation. So you can own this. Now's the time to get out there. Posting jobs on ZipRecruiter will give you access to 4 million current resumes as well. And the best part about this is you're not going to get a phone call. You're not going to get an email. It all goes into the ZipRecruiter interface so you can quickly screen, rate, and hire the best people fast. ZipRecruiter.com/Windows. Over 400,000 companies have used ZipRecruiter, including Twit. I want you to try it right now. We got a special deal for free. at ZipRecruiter.com/windows. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. Try it free today. And yes, excellent service too. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. We're talking Windows, Windows Weekly. Microsoft says you can't use the RTM. There is no, but this is the RTM. It's 10.240. It's the RTM.
Right? It is.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's, you know what, the simplest, right. It is. Let's just,
what let's just say it. Guys.
I guess there is no manufacturer anymore. So
this is the Windows 10 version of, it's just charms. Like, no.
What if we said RTS, ready to ship? No, it's not shipping.
I spoke to a source at Microsoft a week ago today about this build and whether it was RTM and yada, yada, yada. At the time, what I was told was that Microsoft had not signed off on Windows 10. However, this build was given to PC makers and they had stopped making new builds. That what they were doing was releasing hot fixes, critical updates, whatever, and adding them to this build. And so these things indicated to me at the time, like, clearly this is RTM, you know. Then I heard from Microsoft today, and they were like, you know, you keep talking about RTM, but we don't really use that term anymore. It's
RTD?
Not like it used to be.
Ready to download?
Because Windows 10 is something that's never done. It's a nebulous, matrixy kind of.
Well, I understand that they don't want to imply that it's done.
No, they don't. But Paul and I decided over IM today that we're going to call it release to manufacturers.
ERS.
Instead of ing.
There does have to be some set of bits that they send to HP and others, right?
Yes. I think it's important to be able to call something a thing, you know, and give it a simple name and say, this is the thing, you know. It's not bad to do that. It's very helpful.
Yep.
Somebody in the chat room says that if you did take the invitation, you should have an email. Did you guys get an email from Microsoft saying, now here's what's next?
Yeah, but I did, which is actually, I almost wrote about it today, but there was so much else going on. It's funny because the email has very specific questions. It says, click here to get the answer. When you go to the place, there's a FAQ that does not have the questions that are in the email. It's unbelievable.
Like, it doesn't match.
So typical.
But they're such
awesome
a nice multicultural couple.
Yeah, it's really, they're really funny. So, yeah, you'll see there's a list of questions, right? Like, there we go, the list of questions. So
how long does it take to install the upgrade? Let's just see what it says.
So that one might actually be installed, but or might be in the list. But what's funny is when I did this, it just gives you the list, right? So now you got to go and find out.
Here we
go. Is the question, or that one's in there, right?
Plan so go back for about to the email. An hour. Okay, back to the
go
email.
Back to the email.
All right.
There's one that says, will my PC or tablet be compatible with Windows 10? I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder they might spell it out.
How would they?
And they don't. Like, in other words, it doesn't say anything about your PC or tablet.
Oh.
It gives, you know what I mean? And it's like, guys, seriously. Actually, we went to system.
I got a compatibility, you know, system.
Okay, that's all right. I just got
they
to the
fixed
fact.
It. You know what? They fixed it. They listened to you, Paul. Hey, I'm going to hit the ground
this,
running.
Like, you goons.
That sounds painful.
Like, what is this?
Hit the ground running.
Yep, that's what we're going to do.
Ow.
And never look back.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep running.
Cortana Edge support. Sure. Nice lady. Organized. I love clip art. Does she work for Microsoft? Almost certainly not.
Yeah.
Do they, are they using Windows?
Look
right
how
now?
Happy they are using Windows 10.
They sure
10.
Seem happy.
I feel your back.
I feel your back. Wow. By the way, can I get an orange laptop? Because I'd like one.
Sure, from Lenovo.
Yeah, yoga, right?
Yoga. That's a
yoga Pro.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, see us on Pinterest, watch us on YouTube.
And cry in your own soup because we don't want to hear about it.
Optimize Windows 10 with a Microsoft account. Now, am I going to have a Microsoft account?
So this, by the way, this is an insanely difficult topic. The answer is no, the simple answer. But I'm still going through this for the book, and this is freaking me out. If you sign in with a Microsoft account, I could be wrong. I'm still looking into this. I do not believe you can then add a local account to the computer, even through the old school computer. Well, maybe that would work, actually, maybe if you went into computer management. I need to look this up. But, you know, in Windows 8.1, you could add an account at any time. Could be a Microsoft account. Could be a local account. Windows 10, Microsoft account. So Microsoft giveth, Microsoft taketh away.
All right.
Answer your question.
All right. Yep. What about the CompuStick?
The CompuStick?
I don't know. Josh said to say that in the chat room.
I got the Intel Compute Stick. That's what he means.
Yeah, the Intel Compute Stick. Oh, you got one.
Yeah.
Nino.
So this is, I'm not going to be able to do a lot with this before I go away, unfortunately, because it's so tight. But this comes with Linux. So obviously the first thing I'm going to do is put Windows 10 on this thing.
Oh, I thought it was supposed to come with Windows 10.
Well, there's the version coming.
Oh, you got the wrong one. I get it. Oh, they can't ship you one with Windows 10 because that would be RTM.
Because it hasn't RTM yet, as we know. Or something.
Right. No.
Somebody, Cabo user, I'm sorry, Cabo Zone, says he just checked on his 10240, and you can add a local user, so that would solve that issue.
He's a liar. Well, has he signed in with a
He says he signed out with a Microsoft account.
Oh, okay.
But now so he can create a local user.
All right, that's actually what I was looking for. All right, I'll look at this. How does he do that?
How do you do that, Cabo Zone?
I think he's lying. He's a liar.
No one in the chat room is a liar.
Who lies.
Everybody tells the truth in the chat room. Boy, lots of questions about Windows 10.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot, too, that we can't answer ourselves. So
maybe next week we could just do the whole show,
I know,
Q&A.
We could. Windows 10, oh, Q&A. What do we know now?
Will you know by then?
No.
Will you know anything?
My ATI something 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 card isn't working with HQL drivers or whatever they're called. And
Sorry, guys. We won't know a lot more, I don't think, by next week. Although, I hope by next show, I'll be running Windows 10 for my first time.
I hope so, too. Yep. And I have to say, I mean, not every single day, but as time moves forward, obviously more and more answers occur. You know,
yes.
We got an indication today about how this thing will be activated, right? Because one of the questions is, well, I want to install clean install this on my computer. Can I do that? And if so, will it activate? I mean, and Microsoft indicated via some release notes that, yeah, actually that will work just fine. And that's something, by the way, I have seen because a lot of my installs are clean installs on, you know, existing hardware, obviously. And it's not new computers. So it seems to work.
I'm sorry. Everybody's talking to me. Everybody wants to know, what about Credential Manager? People are saying, ask Paul, .. So this is, what about Credential Manager? What about it, Paul? What about it, huh?
It's there. It's the same Credential Manager that goes back to Windows 7 or maybe
Paul,
even earlier.
You've reserved Windows 10. What's next? I'm going to Disneyland.
Well, first you're going to want to see if Windows 10 is compatible with your PC or tablet,
Leo. Oh, Lord. Can I upgrade them all?
Sure.
Yeah. What edition of Windows will I get as part of this free upgrade? 10?
That's, well, no, 10 Home or 10 Pro,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, that's complicated.
It will depend on where you started from.
Yeah.
And actually, I think I said this on this show, you may recall the notion, you know, you might be able to get kind of grandfathered into a nicer version of Windows.
Yeah.
I think that Windows insiders are going to luck out in that way. I think that we're all going to be activated and there's going to be no problems. But if you obtained an ISO of Windows 10 and your computer came with Windows 7, like Home Basic or whatever, and you installed the Pro version on there, that would not activate. You'd actually have to pay for the upgrade to Pro because you get Home for free. You don't get Pro. So that would actually cost $99 if you wanted to do that.
And here's a question for Mary Jo. What's the best beer to drink during this heat wave?
What's the best beer to drink while installing Windows 10?
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh.
Do you have AC, Mary Jo, in your apartment?
I do have AC.
Thank God. So you're comfortable.
But I don't have it on right now because it's very loud.
Oh, are you? So you're starting to warm up.
I'm warming up.
Yeah.
This, you know, it's been where both of us live. It's been in the 90s for the past couple of days.
And when it's 90s in that area, it's humid, too.
Oh, yeah. It's
so humid. But today is
I actually cut through the air like a knife going through butter when I go for a walk. It's not good.
Not good. I'm having fun watching Kevin Rose and his wife, who just moved to New York. Like just 2 weeks ago.
Coping with New York.
San Francisco. Just like they can't.
Melting.
They can't believe it.
Yeah.
It's like, hey.
Yeah. Oh, hey, like, listen, spend a weekend in D.C. if you think you're hot.
That's true. Yeah.
We had heat wave in Germany when we were there. It got into the, you know, upper 90s. I almost got to, I think it got to 100.
I mean, well, the place we're going, Lyon, for most of July has been over 100 degrees every day.
But it's not humid, unlike New York and Boston.
I hope not, because that's horrific.
It wasn't as humid. So it was a little more tolerable. I mean, when you get though. That heat and, you know, the heat.
Especially
you're
out in the sun, there's no, you know, if you're on a boat like you were a lot of the
terrible.
Time or whatever.
So hot.
If you don't have any place to turn, that's.
Well,
that's
you just go to your room, turn on the AC, and you lie there panting.
So you weren't roughing it, is what you're saying.
No, I wasn't roughing it. No, I'll be honest.
Somebody, was there an hourly truffle delivery, or how did that?
I want that truffle delivery.
Listen,
stepped
I
up.
I hate to complain, but the truffle was a little late.
But thank God you kept it in the freezer because it was nice and fresh. Actually, some people did feel bad. They as we were getting off the boat, they left the luggage on the pier for 5 hours in the direct sun at 100 degrees. Oh, and I think a lot of people had bought chocolate. So they weren't too happy.
Yikes.
Not so happy.
Not good.
What is the life what is the life cycle of Windows 10?
I know. Here's another one.
It's 10 years, like every version of Windows.
But, we're going to get forced upgrades, right?
Right.
What happens when we get threshold?
Well,
are we going to get an upgrade to threshold?
There's an interesting bit here. So if you're at home, you have to upgrade. I mean, that's part of the deal. If you want to remain supported, though, in order to qualify for this 10-year support life cycle, you actually have to upgrade Windows 10. Yeah. You know, you have to stay up to date. It is literally a requirement.
Yep.
So that's very interesting. I think with previous versions of Windows, they would move the milestone forward, like a service pack or, you know, with Windows 8, they moved it to 8.1. You know, at some point, you have to be on that version to be supported. Windows 10, you have to keep it up to date on an ongoing basis. That's the point of the release, right? That's actually pretty interesting, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, there have been a lot of stories in places we're not going to refer to on this show that have been trying to whip people into a frenzy over the forced upgrade thing. And you know what, guys? You've known this for months. This is what's called the current branch and the current business branch. We've talked about this so many times on the show. You are going to have to take the updates if you're on the current branch. That's Windows
just the
Home.
Deal.
That's the way it works. If you don't like it, don't go to Windows 10. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you're a business, you're going to have some leeway in holding back on getting the updates
By
and
way,
security.
One of the reasons they pay more.
You're going to have a temporary reprieve, right? You're going to be able to hold off on taking the new features for a set number of months, but you're going to have to take them eventually. And if you don't, they're going to hold the security updates from you so that you are going to have to do it. The only people who will be able to say no to any feature updates are the people who have Windows 10 Enterprise who are on the long-term servicing branch. Everybody else, you got to take the updates if you're on Windows 10. Yeah. End of story.
Thank you.
You've known it. You've known about this. Don't be fooled by the clickbait.
And speaking of clickbait, there was also a story about how Microsoft had a secret scheme to get all these people going on the free Windows 10 upgrade. And then 2 to 4 years down the line, you know, institute a subscription service by which if you wanted to stay up to date, you in fact had to pay Microsoft. And I don't want to spend too much time on this. We'll just say that's complete baloney.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Can I defer the forced update? Can I say, okay, I'm going to update, but can I do it next week?
You can defer updates.
Okay.
That's interesting. I should look at I'm not sure.
Sometimes I would like to wait a little while and see if anybody complains.
There's literally an option in there for deferring updates.
All right.
Yeah. You can be on different rings, if I remember right. Right? Like you can be on a slower ring for taking the updates. Isn't that true, Paul?
Yeah, I'm looking to see if Home actually has that facility. I never even thought to look at it.
I'm thinking they don't have it.
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah.
I want to get you guys on the radio show so you can explain this to everybody.
Jeez, Leo, you don't have enough time.
I have to deal with real people, you know?
This goes, it's
not, these not
things
the people
spiral
listening
out of
to the
control.
Show who are enthusiasts who kind of understand. I mean, we're talking to people who understand it, and they still have all these questions.
I know.
Imagine a normal person. Actually, a normal person's not thinking so deeply. They're just going.
They won't even know.
Oh, update. Nope. Done.
Okay.
Just like right? Like on your phone, you don't go, am I taking the update?
Yeah, you don't think about it.
You can defer updates on Home.
Okay, good.
I mean, you still have reasonable. To take them. You know, you just don't have to do what it means.
Yeah, you want to see how it goes.
Yeah.
That's reasonable.
All right. And a number of people in the chat room have confirmed that after they've created a Microsoft account on their Windows 10, they can then create local accounts without email.
How?
You want me to read you this? Okay, so I'll read you what somebody said. Let me go back here.
I mean, I don't know. I suspect I could go into computer management users. And probably.
I don't think it's that complicated. Let's see.
Okay.
Paul, this is from Alex M. Local user on Windows 10. Go to user accounts, manage another account.
This is the control panel way, right.
Under accounts. Add a new user in PC settings.
Hold on one second. Oh, man.
Let's walk Paul through this here.
Yeah, please.
You've done this for me so many times. It's my turn.
I've spent time on this, so I'm very curious about this.
Local user on Windows 10. User accounts, manage another account, add a new user in PC settings. Other users plus.
Hold on. Manage another account.
What are you, my grandma?
Okay. This just brings me back to PC.
So click the start button. Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. Should my computer be on? Does it have to be on first?
It doesn't have to be on.
You can do this, Paul. You can do this. Okay.
Yes.
Now I've lost the instructions. Let me go back. Okay.
I've done all this so
far. Sir, have you gone to add a new user in PC settings?
Yep.
Have you gone to other users plus and then add someone else to this PC?
Yep.
On the bottom, the person I want to add doesn't have an email address.
Correct. You have to have an email address.
That's
a Microsoft account. You're creating a Microsoft account.
Oh,
it says Windows Office, Outlook.com, OneDrive, Skype, and Xbox. They're all better when you sign in with your Microsoft account.
Oh, Mike.
If you already have a Microsoft account, go back and sign in with that account. Oh, wait. It says that. Wait. It does say it. Okay. I'm sorry. There it is.
You don't want to use it. You just...
Man, they really make you look for it.
Well, they don't want you to do it, obviously.
All right, no, that's very good because this completely disrupted the user account chapter because I was like, you got to be kidding me. They got rid of this under this... Okay, thank you. That solves things very nicely. Thank you.
Exactly the way Cortana, create me a user account.
Who found that?
A number of people.
Right.
Okay. I'm gonna give credit.
I can't reward all of you.
Carmine,
so choose one and I will...
Carmine, I think, was one of the first to do it. Then I mentioned, what was it, Jim?
Is there some way to find out who this person is so I can send them something?
Carmine, Paul wants to reward you. A lot of people in the chat room were trying this as we were talking about it. And then who was the other one I mentioned?
This derailed my entire writing process.
No, good. I'm glad we could help you. I'm glad we could solve this.
If you folks are looking for some sort of a thing that's like meditation, except that it's the exact opposite, that it makes you insane, I recommend writing a technical book.
Oh, yeah.
Do that.
Yeah.
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 Your cat wonders why you yell at it all the time. The neighbors are concerned. Maybe somebody was murdered in the house.
Oh.
And I'm just yelling at my computer.
Carmine, are you ready? Carmine D at 360realtours.com.
Wait, 360?
360, yeah. 300, because he does 360-degree realtours. Carmine, you get an unopened copy of Windows XP Pro.
Carmine D.
Carmine D.
At 360realtours.com?
Tours.com.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I will, I'll write him after the show.
I can show you on the screen.
Yep.
Right there. And then a lot of others said it as well. But did chat room? I think it was Carmine that said it first.
Okay.
But there was also, but the one I quoted was another one, which I can't find. A lot of people got this one. You're all winners in my book.
That was so frustrating.
Yeah. Well, it's buried. That happens to me.
The thing that bothers me is I know things are buried, especially this kind of thing. And did I waste time on this?
Yeah. The other one was Alex M. And he might have actually beat Carmine to the punch.
All right. Give me his, too.
Alex M. Come on down. down. You've won our grand special prize.
I'd like to. I'm going to individually meet everyone watching the show today.
They're good people.
Hardworking Americans and non-Americans alike.
They're from all over the world. Many of them multicultural. And sitting back to back. Don't worry, Paul. It'll be patched soon, says Waka Waka. I'm waiting to see if he'll give me an address, Alex. But Alex M. also gets credit. I don't know who did it first.
Mike Nash at HP.com.
But you can't do it during installation. If you're going to install, right, you have to be using a Microsoft account initially. Is that right?
No, you don't. You don't. In fact, they've done a nice job in Windows 10, I think, of demoting the Microsoft account in some way that you can do a lot more without a Microsoft account now than you could in Windows 8.1.
Here's his address. Alex M is MILEX84@gmail.com. MILEX.
Jeez, thank you.
84.
Wonder I can't write a book. I can't type.
You're not trying to use that silly type keyboard, are you?
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, fellas. Or ladies, or whoever. Appreciate your help. Paul appreciates your help.
Yeah, I really do.
But this is just the beginning. I mean, seriously.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I'm actually looking forward to Cortana a little bit. That's probably the front-facing feature, right? That most people are going to think about when they say Windows 10. I've seen Windows 10 ads. Actually, we should watch the Windows 10 ads.
Yeah, I think this ad. Do we ever talk about this, Mary Jo? What do you think about this ad?
I like it more than the Dancing Schoolgirls.
Yeah, that was a terrible ad.
Yeah.
This one features Eskimos.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's okay.
Imagine these kids won't have to remember passwords or obsess about security. For them, every screen is meant to be touched, and web pages are meant to be scribbled on and shared. They'll expect their devices to listen to them and talk.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting angle.
Tell a funny joke.
Yeah.
And as they grow and get better at things, their technology will too. They'll do things their parents never even dreamed of. Because these kids will grow up with Windows 10. The future starts now. For all of us. It started today.
But Cortana won't be Windows available 10. In any of those countries. Am I wrong? Yeah. Am I wrong?
Right.
Okay, I just want to point out that I'm sorry, but you won't actually be talking to your
Leo, kids. Here's what I think we can promise. By the time these people are adults, Cortana probably will be.
In 18 years, you won't have to use your keyboard.
Yep. Yeah, they'll be fine.
I mean, seriously, this is all about the global nature of Windows, but Cortana is, in fact, not global.
Yeah,
they even show somebody in China using Cortana or something.
And as they grow,
it is in
China. Cortana is
in
China.
Okay.
Yep.
So, what countries is it in, and what countries is it not in?
Oh boy!
I know. Well, they announced this week.
Oh, they're adding countries.
Yeah, they're adding more countries.
So,
seven countries at launch.
Hello, Fatima. I don't think Fatima's getting it.
So, United States, United Kingdom, China, France, Italy, Germany, and Spain. And then in the coming months, Japan, Australia, and then Canada and India, but only in English in those two countries. And then later in the year, Brazil and Mexico.
It's actually a good ad. You know, it's a smart ad in a lot of respects. Yeah. And you're right. It's much better than the schoolgirl. Yeah.
I think what's neat about it is
because everybody wants to look at babies. Right. You cannot look away from babies.
And they step through the Windows 10 advantages pretty nicely in a very non-ham-handed fashion.
Yeah. And they make, I think, a very good point, which is this is the future.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Do it for the children.
Right.
Windows 10 upgrades for the children.
Windows 10 is just as mature as this kid.
No, I think actually, you know, it's easy to make fun of, but I think that's actually a great ad campaign. The music's great.
It's about the new generation, right? New generation's going to want touch, and they're going to want pen, and they're going to want
They
all
won't
that
even
stuff.
Understand how we lived without that.
Right.
That makes sense to me. All right. What else? No, you cannot install apps to SD. Somebody was asking.
Not yet. Not yet. Right.
That's for Surface users mostly, or who cares about that?
Tablets, small tablets will care, right?
Yeah, like that little teeny weeny $60 tablet. I'm probably not putting Windows 10 on that.
All right. So that, but we think that's coming still. That's going to be a feature at some point, but not yet.
Well, now that Windows 10 is almost here, and by the way, again, it'll be out next Wednesday, and we will do a special Windows Weekly. We're going to, I've just been informed by Alex, we're going to install Windows 10 on all the Skype machines, so.
Oh, wow, really?
No.
When are you going to do this?
Because I will not be available for it. What are you think we're nuts? No. During the show, he says.
Yeah.
No.
No, probably not.
No. I am volunteering. What could possibly? I am going to do it on this my new Dell, beautiful Dell XPS 13.
Yep.
It's all ready. And you say it may be getting the bits right now. That's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Could be happening even as I'm looking at you.
Gross.
Gross. The bits all over it. Then we could stop talking about Windows 10 and start talking about Threshold.
I know. Back to Threshold. Yep. So, you know, Windows 10's code name was Threshold. People might have forgotten that because it was so long ago. But we've known for a while because we've seen some roadmaps that come this fall, there's going to be something Microsoft calls Threshold 2. And Threshold 2 is going to be a bigger collection of new features, we think, than the little bits that they trickle out in the months following RTM and launch. We don't know exactly what's going to be in Threshold 2 yet, but if I was going to guess, I would say definitely some of the enterprise technology that Microsoft has yet to deliver. They've talked about, what do they call it? EDP, enterprise. I should know, but I'll have to look that up.
EDP?
Is it EPD?
I don't even know.
I should know this. It's some of the enterprise technology that didn't make it into RTM. That's mostly of interest to people
enterprise
who would be running
data protection. Enterprise.
Yes, enterprise data protection did not make it into Windows 10 for business customers. Also, the like store for business users. I think that probably is something that would likely be in Threshold 2. You know, that's something that didn't make it into RTM. So we think there'll be some new features and a lot of you know, basic stability and other kinds of improvements like that in Threshold 2.
But here's the interesting bit, the timing, right?
Right. We think it's October, which is when we've also heard
what?
The original date when we thought Windows 10 would be out.
Right.
Right.
So yeah. Microsoft, talking to Dell, and I've since confirmed this with a second PC maker who I cannot name, Microsoft pushed back the release of Windows 10 from October to July not that long ago, and that was the original date. And you have to think, you know, when you lose that much time, what is that, 3 months? Probably August, yeah. so that you lose, you know, some of the features maybe you meant to implement in time for the, you know, the final release. Not that there is a final release, because as you know, there's no RTM. So in many ways, I bet Threshold 2 represents what they would have shipped as what they would not have called RTM had this thing shipped in October, which it is not doing.
Maybe so.
Perfectly clear.
Right. And, you know, we've been hearing that October probably is when the new PCs come out that are running Windows 10. There'll probably be some big hardware blitz for the holiday, right? Maybe
possibly
even when Microsoft's own hardware comes.
Maybe.
Surface Pro 4? Maybe. Though, like we've said a couple times, we don't know. We haven't really
heard. Windows 10 Mobile.
Could be. Also October. Makes sense.
Maybe
flagship phones.
Didn't they say, am I wrong, that it would be a few weeks after?
Mobile?
Yeah.
I don't know that they ever said weeks.
They said later
or months
this year.
Or anything, but I think they just said later.
Same thing with Xbox. For some reason, I remember
Xbox. Actually, by the way, October, November is probably the right time for Xbox as well.
Yep.
Yeah, all right. I don't know why I remember, but I
October.
Do.
October.
Somebody's saying
be a big month.
A few weeks after the release of Windows 10. But maybe that was back when they said it was going to be in the fall.
Maybe.
Because remember, this is really a lot earlier than they had initially said Windows 10 would be out.
Right, right.
And, you know, it makes a lot of sense. Back to school. They're actually finally going to hit back to school, which they haven't hit in forever with a Windows release, have they?
I can't actually think of one. I want to say Windows 98 or a 98 SE came out in May. And so that release, I guess, would have made back to school. But aside from that, I know. I can't really think of one.
No.
You know.
That's pretty funny.
Right. And, you know, they want to hit back to school. That's a huge market for them, especially with Surface 3. That is a huge market for them. So you want to have Windows 10 out by then.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's why they did it.
Me too.
Are we going to start scatting now? I wasn't told there would be scatting.
All right, let's do some quickies here.
Yeah.
Then the back of the book. Flagship gate. I'll say a word, and then you guys
respond.
Flagship. How long, Leo, has it been since we've had a Windows Phone flagship from Microsoft or Nokia? How long has it been?
Would it be what would be the last one, like the 930?
Yes.
So that's
it. Was the 930?
The 930 was on. I don't know, about a year.
It was literally exactly a year ago.
Wow,
July 2014.
So we're due.
But it gets a little more complicated for us because we're in the United States. They never sold the 930 in the United States. So when was the last time we had a flagship device from Nokia in the United States?
The Icon, right?
The Icon,
the 935. Yeah.
That's February 2014. That's 18
months. Whoa, dude.
Almost.
Whoa.
But the Icon was only available on Verizon. And we got to say, you know, most Windows fan phones are not on Verizon. So when was the last time we had a flagship phone on America's premier Windows phone provider, their big close partner, AT&T? And for that, we have to go all the way back to November 2013.
Wow. And that was the 1520 or?
1520, the Lumia
1520. Wow.
That is a long time ago.
Yep.
In the interim, Microsoft has shipped approximately 987 low-end phones.
I know, right?
And I don't know what the frick they're doing there, but apparently they're changing it.
Yep.
So, it was funny. I'm going away soon. I want to take pictures of my phone. What phone do I bring? I don't really seem to have any new phones that would qualify for this
job.
You just
need to go Android. You'd have a new phone every 5 minutes.
Yeah, but I need one with a really good camera, you know.
Actually, the Galaxy S6 is a really good camera, but it's kind of a horrible
phone. I used the 1520, and I used the iPhone 6 Plus when I was in
The 6 is still
Ireland.
The iPhone 6 is still one of the best, right?
It is very good.
You use the 930? Okay.
So for this one, I'm actually taking the 930 this time, yeah. Yeah, I didn't have it then because I had put it on Windows 10 and it was a disaster, and I had to go back to the 1520. But I will, it's all reset and ready to roll. So yeah, I am in fact going to use a 930. But man, this phone is a year old.
Yeah,
I don't know how you survive.
I don't.
How do you do it?
we do think those new.
Yeah.
I don't know if we should call them flagships because Microsoft's calling them premium phones. Whatever the difference is there, I don't know. But
he did out of the word flagship in the call, by the way.
That's the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did actually say flagship. City Man, Talk Man are the code names we think, right? Daniel Rubino's been all over this.
Yep. That's right. Yeah. So 5.2-inch, 5.7-inch is a phone and a phablet, sort of like the 640 XL.
Okay.
Very similar underpings. I think it's like a 6-core and a 8-core processor. 3 gigs of RAM, lots of internal storage, plus micro SD, and it's going to have basically the same camera from those phones you were just describing. Good. The camera that's in the 930, 1520, and Icon.
That's a great camera.
Yeah. 20 megapixels. Yeah.
Yep.
And we'll see what else. I mean, maybe there'll be some kind of Windows Hello camera action going on. Maybe there'll be a docking thing for Continuum. I mean, who knows? I think there's going to be some interesting stuff going on there too. So I don't think we have long to wait, by the way, on that stuff and when it gets announced and when we get to see it.
You know, it does beg the question, what's wrong with the 1520 or the 930 or the Icon? I mean,
yeah,
Well, they're not really getting a lot improvement, are you?
The 1520 is too big for many people, for one thing. It's very, very
inches,
big.
Yeah.
The 930 and the Icon they're big and they're thick and they're heavy and they heat up pretty good, you know, if you do certain things, like use the phone. like any phone, I mean, if you use the GPS stuff, obviously the thing you could cook an egg on the back of it.
I have to say this, the newer Android phones heat up worse than older ones because those new big processors. Does Daniel say which processor they're going to use? Are they going to use a Snapdragon? I presume they are.
Yeah, they are Snapdragon.
Those
I want to say A10s
are really
I hot. I think that's what it
that
says.
That is going to be a hotter phone, not a cooler phone.
Yeah.
So
as long as it's a thinner phone.
Surface air strip thing on the outside where it, you know, passively cools the device.
Or just a big-ass fan.
Yep. Or a fan, yes. Let's make the full transition to Windows and put a fan on the front. So I can't hear you.
On the outside.
I keep trying to watch porn on my Galaxy S6 and it gets hot. It overheats and it shuts down and says you can't. Sorry, you have to cool off. Doesn't seem fair. No, I'm being facetious, but it is true. I note the 810 is a very hot processor. So apparently the City Man is an 810 and the Talk Man is an 808.
Okay.
Those are terrible names? Okay.
Those are just code names.
Oh,
no, the name will be 940 or 950, 950 XL, 940 XL, something like that.
Yeah.
Also, arguably a terrible name. Yeah. But
I was using foolishly the Galaxy S6 is what I brought to Germany. I was using it to do a hyperlapse of the boat.
The river. Did you do that?
I did.
Where is it?
Before it died, got a great hyperlapse, and halfway through the phone, literally same shut down. Too hot.
That's incredible.
Incredible.
Actually have phones that get hot enough, it has to shut down to save itself.
Isn't that horrible? That's process.
Rather than commit suicide, the thing shuts down.
I guess that's preferable.
It's like when your body goes into shock or something to protect their brain or whatever.
So I did do a time lapse of a lock.
You did?
Yeah, and it's on my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/LeoLaporte. And I even put some beautiful Blue Danube music behind it. But I had to shoot it with the iPhone because the S6 just died.
I don't know why the iPhone's so popular, Leo.
It was kind of in the sun while this was happening. And this is like the video's 40 minutes shrunk to three minutes. So it does take a while to do it. But
yeah.
Yeah. Have you been on a river cruise, Paul?
No.
Very boring.
Oh, really?
You know what, though?
But that's its charm.
Yeah,
I know, because you want to just relax,
yeah.
Right?
It took me a couple of days because, you know, I'm a go-getter. I'm a coffee achiever. But eventually, the cares of the world sloughed off my shoulders. And then you just kind of, it's like floating downstream.
How do you even
back.
Come back from something like that?
I did not want to. I will confess. I'm glad to be here now.
Yeah.
But initially, it was a bit of a shock. Right.
Yeah.
I'm a mental patient when I come back from a vacation. It's
we were smart. Because I got back last Wednesday, or actually last Tuesday. We didn't, we took an extra 3 days off to get over jet lag.
Just to decompress.
That was actually a good way to do it.
Actually, so you've been home a little over a week, right?
Yeah.
So are you, in fact, over the time change already?
Oh, yeah. You know what? The time change is bad going.
Really?
Coming, I got over it in a day or two.
I wonder if it's worse because you're in California. I find it worse coming home.
It's a nine-hour difference. Oh, really? Oh. It's a big difference. 9 hours is almost, you know, flipped.
Yeah. What happens for me is a couple of days go by and I think, oh, my God, I'm over the hump. Everything's great. And then I completely mentally crash.
Yeah, we've been
over.
Both very sleepy. So I took a nap yesterday. Yeah. So maybe we're still getting used to it.
Yeah, I was falling asleep. In fact, whatever episode of True Detective was on the week we were gone.
Yeah, I fell asleep.
I'm not kidding. We watched it three times.
You know why?
We have no idea.
I don't have any idea either. That show is bizarre.
It's incomprehensible.
Yeah. And they mumble a lot.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you. I think it takes place in L.A. was kind of what I got out of it.
Vinci. A fake town in L.A.
Right.
Meanwhile, the boat's still going up the lock. It's like a little ship elevator.
I mean, I've gone through locks before on boats.
This is an 82-foot lock.
Yeah.
This is huge. And you float all the way up to the top, and then you float out of the lock. It's so fun.
And then you go through, like, the 13th one, and you're like, oh, you know what? I think I'm done with this.
You know how many we had?
Oh, how many?
63.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
60.
Were most of them at night?
They were all day, all hours of the day and night.
Oh, that's incredible.
The worst part is that...
were you going down or up as you went?
Both, because we were going upstream on the Rhine and downstream on the Danube.
That's crazy.
And then that
is that related to mountains or something? Or how?
They have to go to the ocean. So the Rhine dumps out in the North Sea. So we were going upstream from Amsterdam up the Rhine.
Yep.
And then the Danube dumps out in the Black Sea. But that was on the canal that they only finished 20 years ago that joins the Main and the Rhine to the Danube. So you can go all the way through the continent. And then they built it and nobody uses it.
I was going to say, you know, since they started working on this, they invented airplanes.
Yeah.
You know.
So, you know who uses it like crazy? The Viking River cruises. Oh, my God. They're multiplying like ants. They're everywhere.
That's funny.
They had they launched 27 new boats this year on the same river. Anyway, I don't know how we got into this. Thanks for joining us for River Cruise Talk this week at River Cruises.
Next week, we're going to talk about Lock 57.
Oh, boy. That's one I'll never forget.
Ooh, that was a good one.
That was a good one. There's actually the other thing that's kind of interesting to nobody but me is the boat's too tall to go under some of the bridges.
Oh, man.
So what they do, in fact, they did for most of the trip, like a week
of the trip.
They flood
the bottom of it or something?
They flatten the top. So all the railings, everything comes off of it. And even the pilot house, you know, they steer from the top, goes down.
Wow. Do you get to go up top and kind of limbo under the bridge?
I have a picture of a fellow limboing. I'm looking for it right now. Limboing under the bridge. Normally you don't because you could get decapitated.
Yes.
And that's really could put a damper on your cruise. But at one point, I think we had a nice captain. And he said, no, you go ahead and stay there. He said, I played joke on the last cruise. I said, stand up right when we came to the bridge. And somebody did. So this is a bridge.
Oh, that's incredible.
And this is a guy, bold, going.
Sure.
Ducking under the bridge. This wasn't one of the really low bridges because the railings are still up. But that's how.
That is amazing.
The pilot house is sunk in so that it'll go under.
Right.
That's a bridge. It's coming at you at 20 miles an hour.
That's like an X-Men movie or something.
Chop your head right off. Anyway, I don't know. Thank you for joining us this week on River Cruising. It was really relaxing. And if you want to bring Lisa, listen to four books.
Yeah.
Because these boats aren't like cruise ships. There's not a lot to do. So you just relax.
I just picked up a 27-hour book. I'm thinking.
Exactly.
I'm going to be good for the whole trip.
How long, Mary Jo, were you on the river cruise that you went on?
We were there for 3 days.
See, 3 days is, that's not bad.
The right amount.
Because, yeah.
Plus, we went all around islands and we got off and got to go into caves and went to like a floating village. So there was a lot of activities.
Well, we stopped somewhere every day. Yeah. It's fun. No, I'm being silly. I loved it. I had a great time.
Yeah, it's nice being on the water and
we
relaxing.
Booked another one, I'm telling you, for next year.
Nice.
So
next year I want to see you water skiing off the back of that thing.
Oh, really? quickies. Okay, we did Flagship Gate. Cortana on Android, it's out. I haven't used it. Some say.
Yeah, I don't have the preview, so I haven't tried it.
Yeah. Some say, well, that really makes it even less desirable to get a Windows phone. Some say.
You know, it's an app versus being an integrated part of the stack.
Yeah, that's the big difference, yes.
Fewer things you can do. Right. Like, you can't do the Hey Cortana thing on Android.
Right.
Talk to it. But... you know, the idea of them putting it on other platforms is so if you're somebody who has an Android phone and a Windows PC, you're going to have the continuity of Cortana across your devices. That's why they did it. It was to make sure whatever device you use, you can use Cortana. It wasn't so, hey, let's make it less attractive to get a Windows phone. That wasn't the thinking there. There, you know, Microsoft's going where mobile is, right?
Yeah, and that's smart. I don't think that's...
It's on iOS and Android if you're a phone user.
Exactly.
It is.
There's kind of a breaking story about Lenovo, which, of course, owns Motorola, which makes Android phones.
Yes.
And they make their own Android phones as well. And would Lenovo, as the world's biggest PC maker, ever make a Windows phone? And what they're saying is that, you know, by pushing all of their services on other platforms, it's made us easier for us not to worry about that because we can keep making Android phones and our products will all work together very well.
That's not good news.
I guess it's good news for them, but it's maybe not surprising.
This is from NeoWin. Lenovo says Microsoft's cross-platform software makes Windows phones less relevant.
I mean, that's an interesting headline. I that's not how
this is the story from v3.co.uk.
That's not really what Lenovo was trying to say. What they were trying to say was we now have phones that work fine with Windows, so it's great.
Right.
Like, you know, they're positioning it slightly better than that.
Although I remember they were rumored to be doing a Windows phone.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know what the status of that is.
We don't see, obviously, Motorola phones are sold here in the United States, but the Lenovo devices are not.
Right.
And I see them and you see announcements, and they look really nice. And obviously, they make high quality ThinkPad hardware and everything. And I always wanted to see a Lenovo Windows phone. And maybe now I will not. I don't know.
Okay, we continue on with our code word jukebox.
Huh?
The password is Panos Pene.
Nice.
Okay, I can do this one quickly. So, you know, Stephen Elop is gone from Microsoft. Terry Myerson took over devices. So it turns out there were other promotions and shifts as part of that reorg. And one of them is Panos Pene, the corporate VP of Surface, who everybody knows. He is now getting the engineering job, the job of overseeing engineering for all of Microsoft's premium hardware. So he is going to be overseeing engineering for Xbox now, the band, Surface Hub, Surfaces, Windows Phone. He's got it all. Panos Pene is the man on hardware now.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
So this is leading some people to say, okay, so this, of course, means there will be a Surface Phone. I don't know if we can jump to that conclusion, but I know Panos Pene is very fond of Surface, and it's his baby, so who knows? Maybe you'll see a phone with a kickstand.
And seriously, that's kind of interesting. Who doesn't want to see a phone with that kind of styling as well?
I think it'd be great.
Magnesium case.
Surface phone is a great idea.
Sure.
Yep. It would be nice, but we don't have any first-hand knowledge.
Would you make it a phablet?
I would. That's what I would do.
Yeah, like a 6-inch?
Yep. Uses a pen. Surface Pen.
Do you know the Note 4, the Galaxy Note 4 is the one phone that's shining in Samsung's lineup right now. They have done very well with their giant phones with the styluses.
Yeah, that's what my wife uses. And I'm not sure if she uses the stylus, though.
I never use it, but having it. It's the having of it, not the using of it.
Yeah.
Surface 3, and the password is LTE.
So quickly again, coming to AT&T only on Friday. The problem is you have to buy into one of their service plans to get it.
Yeah, that's how they do a lot of tablets now. You go to the AT&T or the Verizon store.
I'd like to just buy this thing unlocked and get a pay-as-you-go SIM and
dream on,
go to town.
Friend.
That'd be very interesting.
Do they subsidize it?
Yes, they do.
All right.
So there's different plans. There's a Next plan you can get on and... There are business devices coming soon as well, which you can get with Pro instead of...
See, that's tempting.
Core version.
I've been waiting. I've been holding off on the Surface 3. Maybe that's the one I'll get.
It's a nice little device.
Yeah, and with LTE, it's really portable. And you know, by the way, that in a way is the Surface phone because you put a Skype or something on there, and now you can make phone calls.
Yep, true. We do know, though, that Verizon and T-Mobile are also going to do LTE versions of the Surface 3.
We just AT&T is just first,
Interesting. OneNote updated on iPhone, iPad, Android, and Windows 10. Any big new features?
No.
Well, actually, hold on. The interesting thing there, and it's only semi-interesting, is that they used to have separate iPhone and iPad apps, and now they're combined into a single universal app, as they call it. I don't know where they got that name from. But what that means to iPad users, which I think is where OneNote is particularly interesting, is there were a bunch of features that were in the iPhone version that were never on iPad. And so this version, now all of a sudden they got five or six new features. So it's kind of a big deal if you're on iPad.
Yeah, that is.
Speaking of which, Microsoft Send. What is that?
Microsoft Send. We talked about this on the show about a month ago. It was an app that was being built by the Microsoft Garage Incubator. Mm-hmm. It was codenamed Flow. We wrote about it as Flow.
Oh, Flow, yeah.
Yep. And so it's kind of like a very lightweight email app. It lets you do almost like a chat-like experience within Outlook.
Uh-huh.
So it's coming first to Outlook for iPhones.
Okay.
That's the first client. Then it's going to be coming to Android. Then Windows Phone also. We just don't know when on Android and Android and Windows Phone. Today, it's available for download for iPhone. But you have to have an Office 365 business or education subscription to get it. Yeah.
Because I pay
But they're going to expand that. They're going to expand who can get it, they say, but we don't exactly know what that means or when. We don't know if they'll take away the Office 365 requirement or not. We don't know.
And Microsoft's taking that $6.5 billion profit and putting it into some new companies. I'm going to say a word and you say what it means. Adalam.
Yes, Adalam. And so we should be clear. We don't know if Microsoft has actually bought this company. There are a number of people saying they have. They're a cybersecurity company with a very big presence in Israel, just like another cybersecurity company that Microsoft bought last year called Aorto. A's, all A's. Notice the A's.
Aviato.
another cybersecurity company that Microsoft would probably use if they do buy it to secure software as a service applications, including Office 365. The rumor is Microsoft paid $320 million for Adalam, but neither Adalam nor Microsoft is confirming that they bought them.
Adalam. What a weird name.
Adalam.
Adalam.
Adalam. A character from Sword of Shannara.
Field One.
Yes. So they did buy, Microsoft did buy this week a company called Field One Systems that does field service application. Field service, you know, which is for servicing customers in the field, as the name might make you think. And Microsoft's planning to integrate this with Dynamics CRM, Outlook 365, Azure, Skype, all of its applications. But it's mostly a Dynamics CRM play. Microsoft's buying a lot of companies to fill in the holes that they have around their Dynamics business. We don't know how much they paid. The company's based in New Jersey. They bought them. The end. There you go. We're just doing it quick.
Well, just kind of mailing it in here.
They bought them. It's it. All right. The back of the book coming up. But first, it's time for everybody to eat some Nature Box. Just go ahead and go to the cupboard. Go to the back of the office and get your Nature Box bag. Open it up. I'm having my whole wheat blueberry figgy bars. They're quite delicious. What are you having? What? You don't have Nature Box? Where have I gone wrong? Nature Box is the amazing snack delivery service. They come to your house, your office, every month with over 100 different healthy and crave-worthy options in every kind of food group. If you're a vegan, if you're gluten conscious, if you want savory, sweet, or spicy. In fact, I had to give up. I was eating the Kung Pao pretzels, which are quite good, but a little spicy. So I told Jason, take this and don't let me have any more. They're so good. And of course, as always with Nature Box, zero artificial flavors, colors, no artificial sweeteners, 0 grams of trans fat, no high fructose corn syrup, just good stuff, nutritionist approved. I love them. So the next time you're hungry, when we take our Nature Box snack, you run and get your whole wheat chocolate chip cookie bites or your strawberry lemonade fruit stars, and you say, that's good. And if you don't have any, I've got a free sampler for you right now. When you go to naturebox.com/twit, we're going to send for $2 shipping, we're going to send you a free sampler. I think 4 or 5 of their favorite snacks, the snacks that everybody likes the best. I think what you get is like 4 of the best sellers and then 1 wild card. I hope you get whole wheat figgy bars. These things are incredible. NatureBox.com. /twit. Start your trial today. Then the next time I say it's time for a Nature Box snack, you'll have some. Now to the back of the book we go. Mr. Paul Thurrott with his pick. I'm sorry, tip of the week.
Oh, yeah. So you can now pre-order Windows 10 retail media if you would like. And why might you do this?
What does it even mean?
I mean, in the past, obviously, you could go to a store, you could order online Windows, whatever, Windows 8.
On a disk?
On a disk. But for Windows 10, this is finally switching to USB flash drives.
Oh, that's cool.
So the pricing hasn't changed. You know, the pro version, it's the full version, is $200 in the United States. And the home version is $99. And, of course, there are many other ways to buy Windows 10. You can buy the the OEM versions. If you're building a new PC, you can buy upgrades to a new product editions from within the product like you could before. And, of course, most people are just going to kind of get it for free as an upgrade from their previous Windows version. But if you do need a full retail version of the product, and some people will eventually going forward, you can pre-order that now. The interesting thing is it doesn't appear that this thing is actually going to be available on the 29th. When Amazon first put the product up, I think it said August 16th. And if you look at it today, it says August 30th. And I think those are placeholder dates, but it's not really clear when they'll actually become available. But if you want a cool retail package and a custom USB key or whatever, you can grab that now.
They're going to have some sort of hologram on it or something. Is it Microsoft official?
Right.
Like they did with the discs. It'd be interesting. It might be Might be kind of cool. Although there's no way to, unless it's a write-only USB key. That really, they ought to do that. But I don't even know how you would do that.
You know, one of the things I like to do with a Windows install flash disk, you know, which I use pretty often, is to, I put driver folders on there for the PCs. But the product key, and if there is one in a in a text file or whatever, I mean, it's neat.
I haven't put apps that I'm going to install.
Right. Yep.
Well, that's cool.
That itself is a tip.
Yes. Load up your USB key with all the stuff you're going to need.
Yeah. Yep.
And you know, first of all, nobody has CD. I mean, there's no CD.
I know.
There's no. Where would I? So nowadays, you really need to do it on flash.
Yeah. So they finally made that transition. Good for them.
Yeah. And your software pick of the week?
So I got a couple, but the big one is Visual Studio 2015. It was made available this week on Monday. And it came with a bunch of other stuff. You know, the new version of .NET Framework, VS Code, which is the new code editor, multi-platform. But the big news here, and this was true of the previous version, is that with 2015, there's a version called Community, which is really the full-featured IDE with all the language and languages and all of the SDK support and so forth, which is absolutely free. And if you want the full meal deal, essentially, it's not absolutely everything. It doesn't have team support and so forth. Community is free. And if that's too complicated for you and you're trying to learn programming or whatever, they still have the Express editions. I think for this version, it was desktop, web, and Windows, meaning Windows apps, like the mobile app platform. And those are free as well. And so that's all available from the Microsoft website. You can get all that stuff. And it takes a little while to get it going. So if you're going to install that, you know, trigger it before you go to bed or whatever, and wake up in the morning and have Visual Studio. The other one is kind of an oddball release from this week. We know that over the past several months, Microsoft has been working with third-party cloud vendors like Box and Dropbox to integrate with Office on both ends of the equation. You know, you integrate with it up in the cloud and through their service, through their mobile apps, but you also integrate with those cloud services through the Office apps on the web, in mobile apps, and on the desktop. And conspicuously missing from this group is Google. And Google, and, you know, we know from Mary Jo's interview with Satya Nadella last week that he understands they probably should talk to Google, but they don't seem to be talking a lot. And one of the things they have not partnered on is Google Drive Office interaction or integration. So sometime late last year, Google added the ability to right-click on a file in a web browser in Google Drive and say open with, you know, Microsoft Word or any of the Microsoft Office apps or other apps. This week, they released a plugin for Office. It works, actually, it might be, I wrote 2010, but I think it's 2007 and newer, but if not, it's 2010 and newer, so that you can integrate inside Office applications, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, with that cloud storage. And so it should work. I haven't been able to try it. I'm running Office 2016. The plugin doesn't actually work, but it should provide a level of service similar to what you see with Dropbox or Box or OneDrive and OneDrive for Business, where from within the Office application, you can access all of the documents you have stored in that service and edit them and save them to the cloud and get on with life. So kind of a nice bit of integration if you are using those two different products.
Awesome. Mary Jo Foley has her enterprise pick of the week.
Yes, my enterprise pick of the week is Exchange Server 2016. And guess what? It went to preview today.
Yay!
Just ahead of Windows Weekly.
Amazing.
Amazing. So this is the on-premises version of Exchange. It's going to have a lot of the features that are already in Exchange Online, which is not surprising since Microsoft's cloud first. There are a number of things around email archiving that are being updated, e-discovery, and one kind of quirky thing, they're making a number of changes to the Outlook web app client. Outlook web app is being renamed to Outlook on the Web as of this version. So from now on, Outlook on the Web instead of Outlook web app, because rolls right off your tongue.
So much better. So happy.
So much. While we're talking about Exchange Server 2016, which is coming out this year, by the way, even though it's called 2016, it's going to be out in the second half of this year. Microsoft also snuck in a little thing at Partner Show last week. They are ahead of schedule with SharePoint Server 2016. Unbelievable, but true. They're going to have the beta of that, the first public beta, out in August instead of the end of this year. I think they're still saying spring 2016 for that next version of SharePoint. But if you're a SharePoint fan, and who isn't, you are going to be able to get that beta earlier than you may have thought. So that's like a double win enterprise pick of the week.
And now time for our code name of the week.
What sound effects? Nice.
Bobby Darin giving us our code name of the week, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. So first, I got to give a shout out.
Sorry, that's Frankie Avalon. They all look the same to me.
Yikes.
Shout out to Aiden Finn on this code name, who goes by Joe Elway on Twitter, if you follow
him there. Why, by the way?
Yeah. The great quarterback, the Bronco quarterback.
He loves American football, even though he's from Ireland.
Yeah. By the way, I had dinner with Aiden when I was in Ireland.
You know him.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. He's a really good guy on all things enterprise. And he alerted me this week to the code name, which is Project Venus. Project Venus is the next version of Azure Backup. And the funny thing about this code name is, why is Venus the code name? It's because there's currently a service in Azure Backup that's codenamed Mars. Azure Backup has this service called Mars. So this is Venus, you know.
Uh-huh.
Azure Backup is from Mars.
What about Pluto?
I don't know.
Azure Backup is from Mars. I get it now. And this is from Venus. Yeah.
So some of the interesting things, if you go and find his post on this, Aiden Finn's post, he notes, he has a slide from the Partner Show that talks about some of the new things coming in the next version of Azure Backup. And There are quite a number of new features that are pretty cool that are being updated from the current version of Azure Backup. Things like providing short-term retention on premises, backup of virtual machines is coming, and also support for workloads like SQL, SharePoint, VMs, and Exchange. So I would recommend you go find Aiden's post on this because he has a lot more detail, but that's the code name, Venus. Mm-hmm.
Aiden, by the way, explains Joe Elway. He says he's a fan of both John Elway and Joe Montana.
That's incredible.
Okay, whatevs. Whatevs.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you picked a lovely beer from a town I was in just a few weeks ago.
Oh, I wondered if you were there.
I was in Cologne. It was beautiful.
Yes. The beer pick of the week, and Leo, you may have to help me pronounce it.
No, it's not like I was there. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Geisterzug's
Goza Rhubarb.
Goza is the type of beer. Goza is a sweet sour yet salty beer. Not sour sweet. Yet salty.
Yeah. Not I sweet. Think I had some of this. Yeah.
It's really nice. They make it with salt, salty. Actually. Yeah. And that sounds weird, but it's delicious. And the one I had this week here in the U.S. was the Goza rhubarb beer from Braustel.
Not the Goza in the darkness?
Not that. No.
Goza the key master.
But if you like
Casper
rhubarb.
The Goza.
If you like rhubarb, and I do.
I do too.
Really nice mix of the bitter, the sour, and the salty all in one. And it's a very, very nice beer for summer.
It sounds like me.
It does. It's the Paul
bitter,
Thurrott.
What do you say? Bitter, salty,
bitter,
and
sour, and salty. It's Paul Thurrott, ladies and gentlemen, to a T.
In beer form.
The Goza of tech journalists.
That is so funny. We had some interesting. That was one of them that was very interesting. And then there's a smoky beer. It's very smoky.
Yeah, the Rausch beer, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really I'm nice. Positive I've had this kind of beer, but I just looked it up on Untappd and I can't find any.
Well,
I
that was probably before you were 10.
Yeah, I'm positive I have.
I bet
before the
too.
Internet, you had a Goza.
Before the internet?
Yes. You know who there doesn't was no like rhubarb? Thing, yeah. Bears.
They don't?
You know how I know that?
Oh.
Because I saw a newspaper article just the other day of a bear that broke into a pie shop and he ate all the pies except the strawberry
except rhubarb.
Yep. Left that one. Maybe he was too full. My goodness, the time has flown.
It is.
Only 2 hours and a few minutes later, and we're done. And this was nothing compared to what next week's going to be like, because that's Windows 10 week. I'll leave it to you
next
guys.
Next week's going to be interesting, Leo, because I'm going to be away.
What? Yeah. You just got back.
He's going to be on the show.
I'm going to be on the show.
Oh, but you'll be on the show from France.
Right.
Okay.
And I will be on the show from here, and then right after the show, I'm going to the big launch party here in New York. So if anybody else who listens to Windows Weekly is going, I'll see you at the party.
Where's that going to be?
It's going to be in Tribeca at an undisclosed location. You have to have an invite.
You have
for
to
this,
have an invite.
So.
Fun.
Yeah, but it should be pretty good.
Record some selfies.
I will
or
not
something.
Be going to the party that's not in Lyon.
You're going to be
I guess
in Lyon.
You won't,
then. Yeah. Oh, I'm so jealous. We're going there next year, next September.
I know.
We're going to start our river cruise there.
Of course
so
you
excited.
Are.
Because I'm following in Paul's footsteps. There's signs. Paul Thurrott slept here. It's amazing.
I will. I'm going to leave you a message somewhere, and then you can go find it.
Yeah, do. Do. Leave a special gift.
I'll leave you like a euro or something.
A euro.
You may need this someday.
All right. Next week. 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. Next Wednesday, we will do a special edition, Windows Weekly 424, the Windows 10 edition. That's when we do the show. And if you can be here live, that'd be fun. Let's all install it together.
Let's break the internet.
Let's break the internet. If not, of course, on-demand versions of all of our shows available. This one is at twit.tv/WW, but you can also get it wherever you get your podcasts or Stitcher or Slacker or podcast apps on all the platforms. Dimitri Lee Allen's excellent Windows Phone version of the Twit app. It's all there. Paul Thurrott is at thurrott.com. That's where you'll catch his work. And get yourself a coffee cup while you're there. Did you get the beer steins yet?
Yeah, so you know what? So we have the new mugs are in. This is the new
stuff.
Whoa,
that's massive.
And actually, you know what? It's much more solid than the old one. It's like
I've got the old
one.
Heavy. I need to get a big knife. And it doesn't have your name in the lip.
Yeah. Well, you got the signature edition one.
I have the signature.
Yeah. That comes without any crap, really.
This is the Thurrott mug signature edition.
Yep. I still want a signed edition of the beer stein, by the way.
Okay. We could probably
is that actually your signature, or are you?
That is actually me writing out my name in script.
It's nice.
But I don't sign like checks or my
because
taxes
can read it.
Like that.
Yeah, because you can read it. That's not good.
Yeah.
Mary Jo,
I did write.
That's nice. Yeah. I like that. Nice. Mary Jo Foley is at allaboutmicrosoft.com. That's the, of course, ZDNet blog. She pens and gets all the big scoops on and all that stuff. And, of course, we're thrilled you're both here each and every week to talk about Microsoft and Windows and all that stuff. See you next time. Bye-bye.